Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It's a ghost!" They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said this, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." There's always a contrast with Jesus, faith and fear, faith and fear. The more fear you have, the less faith you have. The more faith you have, the less fear you have. You know your own heart, but if you're a fearful person, it says a whole lot about your faith and trust.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
He says again, a strong word, but he says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees," he said, "in secret, he will reward you." Now, this is something Jesus isn't talking here about the kind of prayer where Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know, sort of like when I'm driving my car, I pray. So I'm thinking that covers this verse because I can kill two birds with one stone. I can drive the car and still pray. I don't think that would impress Jesus. Jesus says, "Is there a time that you set aside just to pray with me?" You see, just to pray. It's just like setting a time aside to be in his word. Let God speak to you in his word. You speak to God in prayer. He said to Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You have to take time for this in your personal discipline. Do you pray in that way? You see, the commodity here is a kind of an interesting commodity. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about your time. You see, that takes time. You mean I got to go somewhere? And you don't have to. What he's saying is, though, pray in secret. Now, notice what he says. It's interesting because he tells us that, he says, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do." He said, "They suppose that they will be heard for their many words." That's the way the pagans prayed. He said, don't use repetition. By the way, after that, by the way, he gave us a short example of non-repetition, which is the Lord's Prayer. It's one of my favorite pet peeves, but for 2,000 years, what have we done? Let's repeat it every chance we have. He said, don't repeat. No, let's repeat that. Astounding. By the way, a little insight in prayer, verse 8. "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." You know what that verse tells me? Prayer is never to inform God. You don't pray to inform God. "Lord, guess what's going on in my life?" It won't be a guess. You see, I know what's going on in your life. You see, what does prayer do? Two things. Prayer reveals my heart. You see, it reveals how I am reacting to what is happening around me. I can pray my humanity, as I say. It reveals my heart. It also is a time for me to demonstrate my trust for God. I trust you. You see, I trust you. That's what prayer is all about. That's why prayer does a lot more to change you than it does to change God. You see, that's the whole point of it. God wants you to trust him. And in this case, notice our other favorite commodity. What is number two in our lives, or number one, depending on your situation? Money is one or two, and next, time. Time. You see, money and time. And by the way, just by standing here and looking at you, many of you are going to run out of time before you run out of money. Okay? Time is, you see, that's, if not most of us. You see, the whole idea, time is precious to us. God says, will you trust me with your time? Will you trust me with your time and will you trust me with your money? Will you do that? You see, will you do that? And the idea of it is behind whenever you do that, what ends up happening in your life is your faith begins to grow. God will honor it and he'll reward it. Now, it's not just a matter of exercising authentic private discipline in my giving and in my prayer life. Obviously, I could have went down to verse 16. He dealt with fasting. But I want to move to the second aspect. Your faith can increase when you engage in authentic personal ministry, every single one of you. And here I want to go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse 11. The beginning of Matthew 14 is a very sad part of the gospel. John the Baptist becomes beheaded by Herod. He has spoken out against Herod, especially his illicit relationship, and so Herod figures out a way that he can behead John. Please understand how important John is to Jesus. He's his cousin. Jesus also said concerning John the Baptist, "No, there has never been a man born of a woman greater than John." That's how great John is. Now, you know in John 11, for example, how Jesus grieved when Lazarus died. So you can imagine what Jesus' situation is now when he understands that John is beheaded. And so in verse 11 it says, "And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and they went and reported it to Jesus. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself." What's he doing? Praying and grieving. You see, that's what he's doing. And it says, "And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities." Now, hey, you see, it's hard for Jesus. He's sort of like a typical rock star in that sense of this world. He can't get away from the crowd. So he goes to a secluded place and the whole crowd goes with him. They want to find him. Now you'd think that what would happen is Jesus sees them on the shoreline. It says in verse 14, he went ashore and he saw a large crowd. And you'd want it to say, and boy, he was angry at them for not respecting his quiet time. But that's not what it says. It says he felt compassion for them. And it said he healed their sick. Well, that's ministry. Here he is, he just lost John. He found out this news. His disciples and John's disciples are very confused about what's going on. Why would John be dead, especially concerning Jesus as their Messiah? And Jesus looks at the people and has compassion. And he heals them. Then it says, "And when it was evening..." Now, in the scriptures, in the New Testament, there are two evenings. To the Jews, there are two evenings. Remember, a Jewish day is a sunrise, sunset day. It's not, you know, it goes around that way, not midnight to noon type of thing. It's a different process. The first evening is 3:00 p.m. From 3:00 p.m. on, it's evening. The second evening starts at 6:00. So you have two evenings. And it could be either of these there. The first one, we'll see another one here in a moment. It could be the first one, and the second one occurs at 6:00. And so when it was evening, the disciples came to him, and they said this, "This place is desolate, and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away, that they may go into their villages and buy food for themselves." Now that is logical. We're going to find out that there's probably 8,000 to 10,000 people here. 5,000 men. Okay, so there could be 8,000 to 10,000, children, women. And the disciples say, "Look, there's nothing here. We're in the middle of nowhere. So what you need to do is disperse the crowd." You see, but there's something else the disciples did that's extremely insightful. And you have to be proud of them for this. They saw a need. We need to eat. You see, they saw the need. They said, "These people need to be fed." Now, the response is not at all what they would have thought. They had to be surprised and shocked by the response. Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You feed them." What? Yeah. "They do not need to wait. You give them something to eat." What? Yes. You saw the need. You meet the need. You know what that's called? Ministry. You saw the need. You meet the need. They're sort of like we are when that happens. Wait a minute. I thought maybe I could pray about it. You know? I mean, that's a typical response. Pastor, I think there's a great need. Okay, would you do the need? No. I see the need. Get somebody else to do the need. It doesn't work like that in Scripture. You see the need, you do the ministry. That's what Jesus says. And they said to him, wait a minute. Let's think of resources here. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. 8,000 to 10,000 people, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. We have a problem. You see? And you'd think like Jesus would have been like, "Oh yeah, you guys, I'm sorry. I miscalculated. You know, I'm really sorry." But you know what Jesus says to them is the same thing he says to you when you see a need. Just bring what you have. You just bring what you have. You don't have to get anything else. You bring what you have. He says, "Bring them here to me." Wonderful. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. By the way, that's ministry. Well, notice what happens. Jesus does what Jesus does. Jesus does what he can do. What did the disciples do? What they can do. That's ministry. You mean, can they take the stuff he gives them and disperse it to the crowd? Yes. That's ministry. Jesus does what he can do. They do what they can do. That's ministry for you and for me. Notice, it then says, "And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets." And these are really large baskets. Now notice, Jesus just didn't feed them. Leftovers. You see, he says, "No, I want to show you there's leftovers." Now I'm thinking what the disciples have to be thinking. I get it. I come up to the Lord. He gives me my stuff. I take it out. I disperse it to everybody, go back to the Lord, he gives me. And it's like, wow. Wow. But Jesus is saying, "Look, you're doing exactly what you said needed to be done. You said these people need to eat, and you're feeding them. But you're doing only what you can do. And you're allowing me to do only what I can do." You see, that's ministry. God puts the burden of the need in your heart. Once you have a need burden in your heart, then you do the ministry and trust the Lord. You see, apart from him, how much can you do anyway? Nothing. That's what he said in John 15. And so the whole idea of it is you just do what you can do and I'll do what I can do. Now, this is so important to him. And I thought, how do you think their faith is being stretched here? This is astounding to them. It's an amazing thing that's happening. And what's so interesting about it is Jesus wants to make sure they don't miss this. And so you've got to understand, how long would it take 12 guys to feed 8,000? I'm thinking a while. If you've ever done a banquet, probably not 8,000. It says immediately when they finished, immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat. What? How about a break? How about a little rest? He says, "All right, you guys, get in the boat." He said, "Now take the boat to the other side of the lake." That's astounding when you think about it. He sent the crowds away. By the way, he could have sent the crowds away in the beginning, couldn't he? He could have. He said, no, I want to do this. I want to show these men what ministry is, what personal ministry is. You have a need. You see the need. Then you do what you can do, and he does what he can do. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Notice the solitude again. And when it was evening, that's probably at least the second evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, this is astounding. Watch. And it was the fourth watch of the night. Fourth watch of the night is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. How long have they been in the lake? A long time. And you know what? They weren't really in a boat in this sense. Have you ever been in a gym and gone on a rowing machine? You ever got on a rowing machine and you... Now, it does duplicate rowing, right? But what's the difference? Does the rowing machine move? No, it just sits there. That's what the boat's doing. They're out there and way, they're rowing. They're not going anywhere. They're just in the middle. How long have we been rowing? You know, we're just hoping. They're just out there rowing. They've got to be exhausted. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Wow. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said this, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. There's always a contrast with Jesus. Faith and fear. Faith and fear. The more fear you have, the less faith you have. The more faith you have, the less fear you have. You know your own heart, but if you're a fearful person, it says a whole lot about your faith and trust. You see, that's why we all want this great faith. We want that kind of faith in our lives, and God wants us to have it. Immediately, Jesus spoke, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And it says, and Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. What a great insight by Peter. Notice what Peter didn't do. He just didn't jump in the water. He goes, that'd be foolish. But if that's my Lord, if that's Jesus, if he commands me to come in the water, I can go. What does it take to do that? Faith. You see, it takes a tremendous amount of faith. Now watch. He said to him, come. And he said, and Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Wow. Now, please understand what he's teaching off the last thing about the feeding of the 5,000. What can Jesus do? He can feed 5,000. Jesus can walk on water. What can Peter do? He can get out of the boat. What does it take to get out of the boat in a storm? Faith. Trust. You see, that's what it takes. Peter's only doing what he can do. Jesus said, come. If Jesus is standing in the middle of Pontchartrain and he says, come, go. That's his point. So Peter does it. And it says, and Peter... It says, seeing the wind, became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. His face a lot like ours. It only got him part of the way. And then we look at the circumstances around us, or the prognosis, or the diagnosis, or the economy, or the crime, and then we panic. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. And said to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why? Why did you doubt? You see, you didn't have to doubt. I said, come. You see, it's an amazing thing. We would all say, well, I know why. If you're standing in water and walking in a... Jesus said, you don't look at the water. You look at me. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And you got to love verse 33. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Oh, let's see. How many things has he done so far? I mean, countless, but he just fed like 8,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. And then he walked on water. And then he stopped the storm and made it calm. And that's when they're ready to say, "I think you're the Son of God." You see, that's more like who we are. Personal ministry. You see the need. Jesus convicts you to meet it. Then you do what you can do. And let Jesus do what he can do. That's all ministry. You can trust him. And you know what? How do you know if your trust is true? You get out of the boat. You see, you get out of the comfort zone. You go to meet the need. You see, so often for us, as people see a need for ministry and they think something should be done, and then when Jesus says, "Go and do it, do all you can do," they go, but I can't. I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I could never do this. Other people have to do it. All that is doing is revealing a heart that doesn't really trust him. You see, that's a very important aspect of all of this. Our faith grows when we exercise private discipline. We trust God, so we are happy to give God access to our time and our money with no questions. And also, when we engage in authentic personal ministry, we see the need. Jesus says, meets the need. We do what we can do. He does what he can do. And you know what? When you live like that, and oh, by the way, both of these are totally in your control. When you live like that, your faith grows. And if your faith grows enough, you end up with that great faith that God talks about, that bulletproof faith, the faith that is above and beyond all the circumstances of life. You reap peace and joy and hope. God is glorified. Let's pray. Father, I believe that some of us need to be convicted about how we trust in our control of our time and the control of our money rather than simply trusting you. Father, when we do with our time and money what you would ask us to do, you reward us, not just on the eternal plane, but on the temporal. You are glorified. People are ministered to. And our faith grows. For some of us, Father, it's a ministry issue. We never really get involved in our own personal ministry. Continually, over the course of time, you have brought different needs into our hearts, different things that need to be done. In almost every case, we tell you that we really feel the need, but somebody else has to meet it. Father, I pray that we step out in faith and trust, and that all you're asking us to do is what we can do. And then we're trusting you to do what you can do. Father, I pray that each and every person who knows Jesus Christ in this very room, this very day, begins a path of a growing, dynamic faith, because it will serve them so well as we live in this fallen world. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, That is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.